Yeah, it's just, right. There's just so much to think about. Ian, I talked to, I got a message this week from the Verizon people. They have the new home service, the new Verizon 5G home service is available at the studio. So once, if anything ever opens up again, and we do decide that the studio is going to be the way forward, then that's we're going to use that there.
Ooh,
brand new. And it's supposed to be a gig up and a gig down.
But won't it give you the COVID?
Yeah. God damn. What's well, no, it doesn't give you the COVID. Yeah, it makes you more.
Jesus,
that's
Ian,
dumb.
Why don't you watch Plandemic once? Just one time watch Plandemic.
Fucking Christ. I don't know what Bill Gates wants to do with me.
He wants to inject Jesus, you with his it doesn't hot give you RFID COVID. Action. No, that's what he wants to do.
That's not right.
And if you want hot RFID action, you can go to adamandeve.com, type in Gloria at checkout. God, could you imagine if you had a remote control RFID vibrator that you could use? That would be amazing.
Wait, you don't have one?
I got a Bluetooth.
I'm literally wearing
one,
a dozen of them right now. I'm wearing a
like the
dozen
ones.
All the time.
Bluetooth
like
ones
I won't
are good.
Leave the house. That's yeah. What do you use as a mask? I just use a series of interconnected fucking facial vibrators as a mask. You know what? I will say that would be as effective or more effective than a lot of the fucking masks that I see when I go out and about.
How many people wear them on their chin? It's like chinderwear. Like, I don't even get it.
I was at a doctor's appointment this week, and this guy came in. So there's only three people in the waiting room. And we're all, you know, 43 feet apart.
We talked about this last
and
week.
And we're all doing our thing, you know? Yeah. And like, it's just people can't figure out
on
the
their
mask
fucking
situation.
Chin. I see it all the time, and I'll see people walking down the street. I saw the guy the other day with the fucking the people who are putting tickets on everybody's car because that hasn't stopped. That's an essential fucking job, by the way. Tickets on people's cars, and so
City of Chicago's revenue is not
unessential. So those fuckers are walking
down,
but the dude's got it on his chin. He's wearing it on his goddamn chin as he's walking down the road. Oh,
I wear mine as a jock strap. I wear mine
too, right over my moves. That's what I'm gonna do.
I want to cover. Here's what I'm going to do. I want to cover myself in face masks except for my mouth and nose. I want to have just like, no, I want to have like 40 fucking masks all over my body, like a Jewish guy with those
perfect.
Boxes.
Yeah,
everywhere.
The telephone or whatever
just
they're
like,
called.
But the only thing not covered, mouth and nose.
Hey,
shit.
Ian.
Like, I got a fucking mask on.
We got a comment on the thing. I don't know if you saw the thing pop up that said there was only a few minutes of space left on the whatever the fuck.
Yeah, I saw that. I guess the hard drive is all.
Are you using the right hard drive?
Maybe not.
There's one that's DOS. That's DOS formatted, and there's one that's Windows formatted, or not DOS. One that's DOS or Windows, and one that's Apple.
Right. Okay, I'll change it. Who's excited to see Cecil eat spam?
Oh, God.
Who isn't excited? How are we going to cook
it? A bunch of people are saying it's fine. Everybody's like, no, it's perfectly fine. It looks like hot dog terrine to me. That's what it looks like when I see it.
It's not. I think it's better than a hot dog. I think from just like a, what are you going to do with it? Like, are you going to, if you eat spam, I think it's like anything else. Like, is it one of those things where you try it and if you don't like it, it's like, I don't like it. You know, like I had chicken once and it wasn't good. So I don't like chicken at all. Or do you have to try it like 14 different ways?
But I think, you know, I'm certainly not going to eat. Who was I talking to that said that they ate it as sashimi recently? Somebody was saying that they ate it
over rice
in Hawaii. They do that.
Somebody said in Hawaii, it was Heath the other night. We were talking to him on the call. It was Heath who said it because he lived in Hawaii for a little while. Because Heath's background is weird. Heath has a weird backstory. Anyway,
I want to write Heath's autobiography.
Like,
I really
no, you don't.
Oh my God,
no,
I
you
do.
Don't. Come on, it's a lot of just being alone, and that's sad.
That's why I want to write it. It's the laziest writing you could do. And then I sat in a room and stared blankly at the wall for 14 hours, and that was my 20s.
But he said that they used to cut it. And they'd make it into rice, like put on rice and eat the fucking spam as if it were like sushi. And they would make it raw, he said.
Well, I mean, it's
that
already
sounds
cooked.
Foul as shit.
Like,
I know, but it still sounds foul. It sounds like, it sounds like you got to shake the gelatinous shit off of it. That's what it looks like from the cans that I've seen. I don't know. I'll see what happens.
Yeah, if you try it, are you also going to try the Jell-O goo, the jelly? The spelly?
I'm going to fry this shit up. I ain't eating it raw. No, fuck you. That. I ain't eating it uncooked. I ain't eating that shit uncooked.
No, you got to try it like 14 different ways before you decide. I think that's the magic. It's like, isn't it like, it's like two bites when you're a kid.
Yeah.
Like you got to, maybe it's got to be like spam two ways.
I'm willing to try it two different ways, but everybody's saying that what you need to do is cut it thin and fry it up with like eggs or
like
something.
Bologna.
It's a good breakfast. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll try that.
Okay.
I'll try that.
I can actually
see fried bologna. I hate fried bologna. I think it's disgusting.
I had fried bologna.
I actually hate bologna in general. I think bologna is disgusting. I think it's a foul, awful food that shouldn't exist.
I will admit, I haven't had bologna as an adult. The last time I had bologna, I had fried bologna living with my dad. And it was so long ago, Cecil. I was living with my dad in Chicago, and we left when I was in fifth grade. So I haven't had it since sometime before fifth grade. And I remember, the only reason I remember it is that when you fry it, it like turns into a nipple. Like because it's a circle.
It like puckers up.
Yeah.
It gets perky. It gets perky.
It's like it's cold all of a sudden, you know? It like tightens up around the edges and it kind of pops up.
Yeah, right.
A little
right.
bit. Like it's.
Yeah.
I didn't know why I liked fried bologna so much as a young boy, but you know, I still remember it. I'm not going to lie. It's made its way into my imagination as a young man.
A few people, not me, have asked that you move the mouse away from Tom's beard on his camera.
I'll put it in his nose. How's this? Is this good?
That's
hey.
No.
Okay, all right. I'll move it. Sorry.
It's like, sorry, I had everybody. Something in my beard, like just something like unclean in there. Oh my God.
People are saying you hate fried bologna or a monster. I'm sorry. That's just, I never liked it as a kid. My brothers used to make that shit and I'd be like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
You know, did you ever have
I'd rather go hungry.
Pimento loaf?
Yeah, you know, that's also awful.
Oh, for fuck's sake, man. My stepmom fucking loved herself some. She had literally the worst food. Like, moms in my life have not been good. And the food situation has been particularly bad. Like, she would make, and my dad actually sent me a picture of this the other day, Cecil. He said, I made gray stuff.
Oh, Jesus. What the fuck?
Gray stuff was a food.
What was this? A picture of his hair?
It's his pubes, right? So,
oh, come on. Your dad sends that to you? He should at least be nice enough to send a dick pic, not just the pubes. Come
you
on.
Can't. You can't see the forest for the trees. You know what I mean?
Yeah. At a certain point, you stop manscaping. You're like, nah, I'm good. I'm fine.
That's not getting any better.
Whatever.
Look, hey, Edward Scissorhands can show up, and it's not.
It's COVID. I can't see my barber. So what the fuck?
No amount of topiary is going to fix this problem. Like, it's not.
There's no Asian lady out there that can tear the pubes out with wax. You know what I mean? At this point. So
what about liverwurst?
You know, I don't despise liverwurst. I like pâtés in general.
Yeah.
So I actually like pâtés. I think pâtés are a good food. I like, I like liverwurst. I think it's a good food.
Okay.
So I'm not against that. I like rillettes. You know, that's also pork. That's a pâté type pork.
Right.
So I like that type of thing. So that's not, I love duck pâté and, you know, that sort of thing. So it's, for me, that's good. It's the, I don't know what it is about bologna. It's just, bologna has just always been gross to me. A cold hot, it tastes like a cold hot dog. That's not appetizing. That's not good. That's not good, man.
It kind of has that like grainy grittiness that a hot dog, like a cold hot dog has like, and I don't know why, because like when you heat them up, they're already cooked. You heat them up, it's just warmed it. So I don't really understand it, but like, like a cold hot dog has this kind of like gritty graininess to it that like, makes you realize you're eating like the dirt in a fucking pork asshole.
Yeah. Temperature changes very much how you enjoy food. Temperature is absolutely important in certain things. And so that's another reason I don't like cold pizza. Like people always say cold pizza is good. I don't like cold pizza.
No.
I think cold pizza is the flavors are muted. So you're essentially just eating a fat that's hard with a muted flavor of tomato. And it's nowhere close to as good as warm pizza. Like cold pizza is a thousand light years away from warm pizza. Would I eat it? Yeah, I mean, I might choke down a few pieces, but it's so not my preferred way to eat.
Yeah, I guess that's an important distinction, right? Like, it's not as good, but I still think it is good. Like, it's not like,
yeah, I don't,
if I have the choice, I'll take a hot pizza every time. But like, yeah, if there's cold pizza in the fridge, yeah, I'd grab a slice of cold pizza.
I live in a first world country, so I always have the option of first world cooking it up in a toaster oven for 7 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, I always have that opportunity.
I am not always waiting 7 minutes. Between the time, you know, like, I am that guy. Like, I'm like, so there are many times where I'm like, no, I'm hungry now. I'm not hungry. In 7 minutes, I'm going to fucking kill someone in my house and eat them. If I have to wait, I am not even kidding. I suspect I'm the only one on this call. But like,
you are.
There are times I'll be like, 7 minutes? I am not waiting. It's 7 minutes. I want to be done eating. Like,
what's crazy to me is that you like Pequod's, which makes you wait at least 45 straight days for your pizza.
Yeah.
Like, you have to order it. You have to order it the quarter before you actually get it.
I ordered,
you have to place your order in fall to get it in spring.
I ordered Pequod as soon as we went into lockdown.
Yeah.
So that I'd have it.
So it's ready. Yeah. It'll be piping hot when we leave lockdown.
No, but there's a different, like, I would consider cold pizza like it's like emergency food, man. It's like, fuck, I'm hungry right now. Pequod's, I'm at a restaurant. I'll wait however long at a restaurant. But like,
sure, I get it.
I'm home. Yeah. I open the fridge and that's an apple as far as I'm concerned. Like, it goes in my mouth now. I'm not washing it. I'm even taking the sticker off. I'm eating the sticker, Cecil.
I cold pizza for me is just the muted flavors are just boring, and it's not. And also, like, everything about it is always just minus the hot version. So for me, I'm just like always not interested in cold pizza. It's just not a thing. Cold fried chicken's okay. I think cold fried chicken is different in a way, because there is while it's different flavors, it's also there's less flavors to mute, and so I don't think it's as bad. So I would eat cold fried chicken way over pizza in a second.
Yeah.
If those two things were in front of me and there was no way to heat them up, cold fried chicken would be 100%.
I agree with you, except 100%. For cold fried chicken is less convenient. Like, it's messier.
Yeah, it is a little
messier. It's a little messier. So, you know, if I'm trying to like shame eat without closing the refrigerator door, cold pizza is a good shame eating.
Yeah. Cold pizza is a good shame. Yeah. Admittedly, cold pizza is a good shame eat. Someone just typed in the chat, Cecil, no. I don't know. I've said so many things at this point. What are you saying no to? All of it? Some of it?
I think they're saying no to cold fried chicken. Cold fried chicken is legitimately delicious. You remember when we went to Ravinia and
you made
fried chicken and it was not warm. And we had cold fried chicken and potato salad. I still remember the meal. Yeah. I don't even remember what we saw there. And I don't care. I still remember.
Sarah McLachlan.
Oh, it was.
We saw Sarah McLachlan. Yeah, she sang the sad dog
song.
She
did.
I remember that.
She did.
Yeah.
I'm still crying a little over having spent money on that. But like the food was really good. I remember that.
There's a bunch of people in here who are like, cold fried chicken, fuck you. I was like, wait a minute.
No, that's... Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys. You guys got to just live a little. That's all. Just live a little. It's okay. It's COVID. Now it's COVID. You can live a little. Carpe diem, guys. COVID diem. Yeah.
Cecil, what is your favorite embarrassed but standing at the fridge food? Like, you're not even closing the fridge before you're just eating it because you need. You got one?
You know, yeah. So I absolutely love Krokus ham. It's a Polish ham.
Oh yeah.
I'm a huge fan of Krokus
ham.
Loves
that
I love
stuff.
It.
Yeah.
I love it when it's sliced really thin. Like, it's a very thin. If it's sliced really thin, I love it. And I will grab and it pairs really well with Munster cheese, funny enough.
Does it?
And so I will take a slice of Munster cheese and four or five slices of that ham and roll it up and make a little roll and eat it right in front of the fridge. Like, I'm 10. Like, it's amazing. Yeah. What about
you? Pickles, man. Like, I'll stand there. I'll open the fridge for something. I'll stand there and be like, I don't know what I'm eating ultimately, but I'm eating a pickle while I decide.
Yeah, while you decide, it's a pickle.
So pickle's that's what I convince myself. I'm like, I'm going to have this while I decide what I really want to eat. And I'll eat a pickle and I'll keep looking at the fridge. I'll be like, God damn, I fucking like pickles. And I'll eat another pickle. Yeah. And I'm like,
another
like
one.
Four pickles in. I'm like, all right, I got a shit. Like, I had a lot of pickles.
Your body's full of
my body's like, well, I got a lot of brine and fiber.
Yeah. Your body's like, I have so much acid in me. I've got to pH shit this out. Oh, okay, let's see what people are saying that they eat in front of the fridge. I saw one that I love, and it's salami. Someone said salami right out of the pack, and I will do that too. So if there's salami, that if you go to certain places and you just order and you just buy that the package of salami that'll have like two or three different kinds in there or something, that's awesome. Just to grab a hand. Oh, that's so good. Cold, it's awesome. It's delicious. So I love that right out of the fridge. That's, I'm a big fan.
Somebody wrote in the chat, ketamine. Wait, you're doing ketamine out of your refrigerator? What
is your life like?
What is happening in your world that you're just like, yeah, I'm pretty hungry. I think I'll wildly disassociate from reality.
Someone posted, Cody said, Tom, have you tried pickled okra? My wife loves pickled okra.
God, the thing is, like, I'm that guy. Like, I love pickled okra all day. It's delicious. Pickled asparagus, pickled beans, like the long, like, string beans.
Yeah.
God damn, that shit is good. So good. Yeah. The only thing I don't like is pickled carrots because they just taste like angry wood. It's just like eating
angry
mulch.
Wood carrots.
Have you had them?
I'm not a pickle guy. I don't really like. I don't even like cucumber pickles.
Oh.
So I'm not even really like a pickle guy. I will have a pickle maybe once every 2 years. I'll think, oh, you know, maybe I'll have a pickle, and then I'll eat one, and then I'll be like, yeah, maybe I won't do that for another 2 years. That's not a thing I enjoy. I actually like. The kind of stuff I like, though, is I love Giardiniera, which is popular in Chicago, which is more of an oil-based hot thing than
fucking
it is
love
a...
love that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I went to... Haley and I went to Costco, I think. And, like, I walked around and I saw this thing. It was the first time we ever went to Costco. And, like, she was new to Chicago. And, like, oh, we got to get this Costco. We got 150 kids. Got to get this Costco membership. We went exactly one time the whole year we had a membership. I spent $9 million. I spent all the money I've ever made and I mortgaged.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, me too. Yeah, every time I go.
And like, I think it was a gallon. I bought a fucking, just this huge thing of Giardiniera. And she's like, what in the world would you need that much? I'm like, you don't know. Like, you just, like, why?
You just don't know.
First of all,
yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
You just landed here. All right. You don't know. I threw it all away. Like, a year later, she's like, can we throw it away now? Because you didn't come up with 150 fucking uses for Giardiniera over the last year. And I'm like, yeah.
Put it in an omelet.
Just throw it away. Yeah, it's great. The thing is, it's great in an omelet. If you make something that's not like flavorful, it's just like, it's not very good.
Yeah.
Blarp Giardiniera.
You could mix it. You could mix it with like fucking white rice and it would be delicious.
It is. I did that. Yeah. When I was doing CrossFit, I actually ate Giardiniera like crazy. Because, like, a lot of the food that I would eat would be bland. And Giardiniera would, like, kick it up a little bit. So you'd be like, oh, I'm going to have fucking chicken and rice and fucking broccoli or some horrible shit that tastes like nothing. And then I would just drown it in hot sauce and Giardiniera.
That's always the worst. When you're like, I'm going to start eating better. And then what you do to eat better is you eat, like, boiled chicken breasts and you hate your life.
Yeah, right.
Like, I hate everything about my life right now. Why am I doing this?
It's like, oh, I'm working out all the time and... crying the rest of the time, just crying.
All right, Ian, you a pickle fan?
Yeah. Like spicy pickles.
Spicy pickles.
Somebody says my audio is not good. It sounds like it's coming from headphones, they said. Is my audio bad?
Yeah, it's something with Skype is being stupid.
Yeah, I don't actually have
Skype
a mic.
Throttles shit.
No?
No, I'll double check it, but.
No, you are coming from your mic.
No, it's
you're
coming
from
mic.
Your mic. You're coming
it's
from
just how
mic.
It's connected. Okay. It's like. Skype is being a fuck.
All right. We were talking about food, guys. We get sidetracked so easy when we talk about food. So we just, sorry about that. How's everybody doing in chat? How we doing, everybody? We were just chit-chatting about food for a while. So let's see. So we got a couple of things we want to cover here. Let me get the thing here. We want to talk about the alligator. So we have a story. And this story is, alligator rumored to have been Hitler's dies in Moscow. Now, Tom, do you have this story called up?
I am.
Because it's short.
I am calling it up right now, and we're going to read this story.
Tom's just going to read it out loud. So,
Skirm, AP News. Alligator rumored to have been Hitler's dies in Moscow. What a journey, by the way. What a journey. You know, goddamn.
You know, as an alligator, you travel to Nazi Germany as an anti-Semite because you feel like you belong. And then you're just like,
you know, like if you're an alligator, you're like, man, I wasn't fucking native to Germany. And now I'm in Moscow. Like I am seeing some shit. Like the other alligators right. are just jealous.
Right. At first it's an anti-Semite. Then it has to become a communist. Man, this alligator is just.
It survived the Soviet winter. It's like, fuck you.
That's amazing.
Fuck
yeah.
you. What was that? What was that Dan Carlin episode?
Which one? There's so many of them.
The one about the Nazis trying
to
invade.
Stalingrad?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's Ghost of the Offs Front, it's called.
There it is. Yeah, it's just like over the fucking bones of the fallen, there's just like one alligator is like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, there's one alligator cool with cannibalism. He's just like, fuck this. I don't give a shit. I'm eating whatever. I'm an alligator.
He thought he was dead. He's just cold blooded. He's like, I'm just sleepy. Like, I'm just
he was
fucking,
just sleeping just, the whole time.
Whatever. I fucking took an I took a nap.
He was a tired, nappy alligator. Yeah. That's how it works.
An alligator that many people believe once belonged to Hitler has died in the Moscow Zoo. The zoo said the alligator, named Saturn, was about 84 years old when he died on Friday.
Man, fuck those alligators. They live a long time.
That
alligator's older than Bernie Sanders.
I would vote for that alligator over Trump. Like, admittedly, I would vote for a Nazi alligator. Like, I would literally vote for a communist Nazi alligator before our current president. He would have handled the pandemic better.
Oh, he's getting sworn in and Justice Roberts is standing there and he can't reach his little arm out to touch the Bible because it's so short. So he's trying to reach out and then he just bites Justice Roberts' face off. That sounds like the best movie ever made. I wish that would be a thing.
According to the zoo, Saturn was born in the United States and later sent to the Berlin Zoo, from which he escaped when the zoo was bombed in 1943. He escaped the Nazis. He escaped. All right, I love it. His whereabouts were unknown. This is the best line in this whole article. Until 1946. How do you misplace an alligator in Berlin for 3 years? For 3 years, Cecil. For 3 years. There is an it gets wintry. Like there's winter. That's not good for alligators. That's okay.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good.
When British soldiers found him and gave him to the Soviet Union, the zoo said, that had to be a weird day, right? Like, how does that work? Like, hello, mate, found this alligator.
No. Wait.
Bloody hell. It was a goddamn. Yeah, like, what? Why? Like, why are they giving it to the Soviets?
Yeah.
Is that like a gift? Is there like some like fucking weird white elephant exchange going on? We're like, I don't know. I got an alligator. I didn't even wrap it.
Everybody looks at it and they're just like, it ain't coming home with me. The wife will kill me.
Like, did they think they had to do something with it? Like, they're not even home. Like, they'd be like, that's weird. Huh. Maybe it's just me.
Well,
I'd just
be a shame if all of us didn't have guns right now. Right. Huh?
I'd be like, oh, it looks like somebody else's problem because I am an invader. Like, I don't care. All right, so they gave him to the Soviet Union. Almost immediately, the myth was born that he was allegedly in the collection of Hitler and not in the Berlin Zoo, the zoo said in a statement. But it noted, quote, animals are not involved in war and politics, and it is absurd to blame them for human sins.
I love it. I love it. Tom, I've got to fix your audio. Something's wrong. Give me a second. Okay. Right. I got to figure out what the... Because every time I talk, let me see. There's some automatically adjust. That's off though.
Yeah.
Normally that's what changes it.
That
sucks. Do you have that on your computer?
Let me see.
Cause it's under audio settings. There's an automatically adjust microphone settings. Right. And I know it's off on mine, but I just want to double check to make sure it's off on yours. Cause that's, it is?
I just did it. I just turned it off.
You just turned it off now?
Right now. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. No, it's better now. Cause you're not muting when I'm talking.
Okay.
Because you were auto-muting before.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I just had to lean away from the microphone to laugh.
Oh, I just thought I wasn't funny. I mean, same difference.
Yeah, I mean, there's both of those things, right. But yeah.
You know, I feelings when we started this, but
yeah, we're trying something new because we're trying Skype tonight. Although Skype's voice isn't as good as I think the Zoom is when we normally use Zoom. What do you think, Ian?
Yeah, it's not as good. The bitrate is wacky.
We couldn't get Zoom to work earlier today. This, like, God, you know, fucking 0 out of 10 on this pandemic. Just fucking 0 out of 10. As pandemics go, I'm
fair.
I don't like it.
That's fair, yeah.
0 out of 10. Yeah.
Someone said, nice shirt, Cecil. You can order this shirt right now. You can go online and order this shirt. And Tom's shirt. Tom has the 2-vote shirt for Citation Needed. This is another show that we do.
I do.
By the way, Citation Needed is another show that we do.
Seal of approval.
And you can go check that show out. And you can also buy those shirts. And they're really great shirts. I'll be honest. They're awesome shirts. And the people who make them, they make really good work. So. So,
right.
So let's talk a little bit. Tom, have you seen what's happening in Minnesota? Have you seen the riots up there that's happening because that guy got murdered?
Yeah, I actually want to point something out. So one thing the Times did that I thought was really good is they didn't say riots. And I don't know, I noticed this shift in language. They called it destructive protests. And I liked that. Right? Because like riot is a thing, right? Like riot has a connotation, and I think rightfully so. Like a riot, like my sports team won the internet and I flipped over a car. Right. That's a riot. Like you're all assholes. Like you idiots ought to be all rounded up and thrown in the garbage because you can't even understand how to be happy without setting a fire. That's ridiculous. But I like that they still labeled them protests. Did you watch the fucking video?
Yeah,
of
George
that
Floyd's
guy?
Name is. So yeah, George Floyd was.
Yeah. So did you watch the video of George Floyd being murdered by that cop? That
it's
is
a fucking
goddamn
murder.
Atrocity.
I mean, you're literally watching a snuff film.
You watch that man die. And like before he dies, he's like, I would have preferred not to be dying. Like he's like saying out loud, holy fucking shit, I can't breathe. Guys, I really can't breathe. And you got all these bystanders there that are like, hey, even when he passes out, they're like, could you check for a pulse?
Don't even bother.
They never bother to check for a pulse. They don't. The callous indifference to the well-being of that guy.
Yeah.
Like, it was upsetting. Like, it was fucking upsetting
to
watch.
The thing is that every time a person of color dies in this country or is murdered by the police or is murdered on the street by some randos who fucking just think that they need to shoot somebody that day, you know, they immediately try to make it look like that person was a bad guy, right? So there are always immediately these releases of their police record and, you know, how bad they were and, oh, they're super dangerous and they deserved it. Because you're basically what you're doing is you're trying to excuse it by saying they deserved everything they fucking got. So take it. Well, in this case, and I didn't get a chance to really follow up on it, but I saw today somebody posted a picture of someone holding the bulleted list of the guy who murdered George Floyd. Is that his name? George Floyd? I think I might have said it earlier. Yeah. They murdered him, and they showed a list of all the things that this guy has done in the past as he's broken the rules and used excessive force in the past. And you're just like, and that's it.
Yeah, well, he was involved in two police shootings. Two shootings in like 9 years. Yeah. In Minneapolis. How fucking dangerous can Minneapolis be? That's Canada Junior. I'm sorry. There's 250,000 people in Minneapolis. It's Diet Canada. Everybody's apologizing if they walk into the same fucking elevator.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, the idea that guy, and one tweet I saw, which was, you know, we should release those things with the same fervor that we do when the other side wants to release this portrait of the person who was murdered as a bad person. Instead, let's release the other thing, which shows that this guy has a history of being a fucking asshole, violent fuck that is basically in charge of whether or not you live or die. He has that ability every moment of the day. He walks around with a weapon that can kill you with a 1 calorie of energy. It takes 1 calorie of energy to murder you. And he walks around with that power every day. And we don't question that. We think, oh, that's fine. Oh, that person should have been doing something differently because they deserved it. It's unreal.
Yeah, well, and like the other thing too about the cops that, and that video really shows it, is like that guy was busy killing George Floyd while other people stood around protecting him while he did it. And that's like, that is a, that's some next level awful shit. Like that's that thin blue line that isn't so fucking thin, right? Like if you watch that video, there was the other officer in the video who stood there doing crowd control, keeping people back while his buddy behind him is busy murdering George Floyd. Like what the actual fuck is going on? Like none of that, none of that, just fucking 100% none of that. Did you see that the UN came out condemning the U.S. for its
as well
police
they
brutality
as well
and
they
the
should.
Murder?
Absolutely.
God damn. We are. When are we going to acknowledge that we're? I know this is supposed to be funny, and I'm sorry, but like, and we'll get. But like, when are we going to acknowledge that we're at a goddamn crisis point with this shit? Like, at what point are we going to say like our cops do not de-escalate? There's no world where anybody should feel safer because a cop is in the room. That is a goddamn, that is a ridiculous statement. The idea that like a cop enters the room and you feel safer, that's absurd. Nobody feels safer.
I'll tell you this. I have a friend of mine in Canada. He's a police officer in Calgary. And he trains, his job is to train other police officers. And I may have mentioned this on the show before, but he plays videos of interactions with the police in the United States as training to his police officers on what not to do. He literally plays those videos show them to say, this isn't how, don't ever do this. What he's doing, don't ever do this. And I know they have different laws up there and different ways, which again, maybe we should be a little more like Canada in a lot of ways that we look at, the way you look at how they, not only how they handle their police handle people, but also how they handle guns and other things. We should probably be a little more like Canada, but genuinely, if you're using the interactions with our police force as a way to say, man, this is fucked up. Look at this. As almost as if it's like America's funniest home videos or like a fucking nutshot video on the internet. That's what you're using it for.
Yeah. I'm at a place with the police where like I'm distrustful of anyone that even wants to join that organization. Why would anybody want to join a police organization as a citizen of the United States, knowing what we know about how that works, how that's trained, how they treat citizens, how like the epidemic of I can't think of the word. The epidemic of violence and like cover up that is part of that world. Who looks at that and says,
oh,
that's what I want to do? That's the, you know, like I have to think, to be perfectly honest, that like just joining that organization is not dissimilar to being like, you know, I want to join the mafia. I want to be a made guy. I want to go out and I want to have power and I want to have prestige and I want to walk around the neighborhood and be a big swinging dick and I want to be able to act with relative impunity and wield power over a helpless populace. I am really hard pressed to offer the benefit of the doubt at this point because like you have to join that organization intentionally. Yeah. And like, we're at a place where like it happens time and 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 time again in every town across all of America. It's not like, oh, LA's got like a bad culture. Okay, well, you know, blame it on the bad culture of policing in LA. Because it's everywhere now. Like the only thing that's changed is the goddamn technology. That's the only thing that has changed is now we see it. That's literally
you're absolutely right. And you know, I don't know who said it. Some famous person tweeted it this week, which was the violence hasn't changed. It's just now being recorded. And that's just true. It's just, you know, the violence hasn't ramped up. It's always been there. The violence has always been there. We just, you know, I never had to deal with police violence as a child. I never had to deal with the chance that I might be murdered because someone might fucking lean on my neck until I die. You know, I never, that would never occur to me. I just, you know, because I've grown up in a with sort of ridiculous privilege when it comes to that stuff. So yeah, it's a fucking horrible situation up there. And I like that terminology. What was the terminology they used again? It was a protest. What was it for the New York Times? Destructive protest. Destructive I like protests. That. I like that terminology. I think that's a good terminology.
You know, real quick, somebody in the chat, Lauren says, you know, she disagrees. She says, there are lots of police who get into it to help. They want to change things. I don't doubt that's true. I think that there probably are some people who get into police work for the right reasons. So I don't want to paint with the broadest possible brush. So, and I know that my statements did that. But I think at this point that I'm unwilling to offer the benefit of the doubt without knowing somebody personally. Because we've seen an epidemic of violent culture. And I do at this point have to wonder about people who look at a violence culture and say, that's the job for me. You're either not paying attention or you're doing it because you are interested in being a part of that culture. And in either direction, I'm nervous about that. I'm nervous. If I were to be introduced to somebody and they were a cop, or a cop walks into a room or a restaurant that I'm in, yeah. I don't feel safer. And I don't know that we should feel safer because they're there. I think we should not offer that automatic. Do you remember when you were a kid? Like there was that like blanket advice, like, oh, if you're lost or whatever, ask a cop. Would you ask a cop for help?
I have a story. I'm sure I've told this on the air. Where I ran into a police station as a child, and the cops didn't do anything about it. I'll be very brief with the story, but the story is I was walking down the street. It was almost curfew. I was walking down the street, and these guys come out of a bar. I was on the main street in the city I lived in. These guys come out of a bar and start screaming at us, calling us douchebags, and they start running at us. And so we literally ran away from them. We had no idea why they were chasing us. We ran into the police station. When we ran into the police station, one of the guys comes in and is like, I saw you stealing from my friend's house. And none of us would stolen anything. And they were just screaming at us. And one of them grabbed my friend with a police officer literally standing right there, grabbed him, shook his finger in his face and was shaking him. And the police officer did nothing. The police officer just watched it happen. And so, you know, from that point, I'd always been very leery. I was like, oh, okay, well, they're not here for me. So I'm never going to assume that they're here for me. And so I've always been very leery about it. But yeah, I watched a guy basically abuse my friend and threaten him, literally threaten him, wave his finger in his face, say, if you come around my friend again or my crew, I will fucking kill you. Those are his exact words. And I remember as a kid seeing a guy, a grown man who's in his, you know, probably 50s or whatever, threatening my 12-year-old friend. And with a police officer literally standing right there, does nothing about it. Didn't do anything. Didn't even lift a finger. Just watched it happen. And so, you know, that's always colored my view of the police anyway. You know, just watch it happen. Why would you just watch that happen? And we had nothing to do with anything. They just knew that kids maybe had burglarized something and thought we were those kids. So they did their own little vigilante work and tried to scare us. And they did. They scared the shit out of us. The cops watched it happen.
Yeah.
Cops just watched it
happen.
The cops
just stood there and let them do it. And the thing is, like, I also want to be clear, like, I know that, like, as a fucking middle-class white guy, like, I'm not in real danger. Like, I always say that shit.
Me too.
I'm a fucking middle-class white guy living in the suburbs. So, like, do I personally feel like, oh my God, the cops are out to get me? No, I don't. But do I think that, like, they make it safer to be in the, like, I don't think, like, I'm as safe. If I'm at a fucking Chipotle and there are no cops and then two cops walk in to get Chipotle, I'm less safe because two assholes with guns walked into that room. That is 100% true.
Yeah.
It's
all just right,
true.
Let's switch out. We want to switch gears. We want to play a thing because it's 9:40. We want to play something for you before we go. So we are going to play something. This is a video. This is Deanna Lorraine plans to go undercover as a contact tracer to expose the COVID-19 plandemic, Tom. Plandemic.
Plandemic. I love too that they also call this a contract.
That is right.
Tracer.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Because it makes me it amuses me like somebody's like tracing down contracts. Just like, what did you agree to?
Yeah, because it's a contact.
Hmm? Or did you join that CD tracer club? Are they going to send you 9 DVDs for a penny?
Can you still do that? Oh, that'd be amazing.
I
remember they used to send that out and
you
send your penny in and you get your DVDs and then it'd be like,
hey, man, when are you going to pay me my $9.99 a month for the rest of your life?
As a kid, yeah. And then they found out that I wasn't a kid and they couldn't send them to me anymore.
Yeah. It's funny because I racked up a whole bunch of like, and they're like, you owe us money. And I'm just like, oh, I'm a kid. And they're just like, I can't collect it from a kid.
Yeah.
Because they can't collect it from you. So I was like, I did that with
magazines as a kid too. I would send it for the magazine and get a couple issues. And they're like, where's the money? I don't have any money. I'm a kid.
Did you ever do that to fuck with people? No. Did you ever like fill out?
No, I'm sure you never did that, Tom. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. We're just going to leave it at that. Okay. All right. I'm going to play this video.
Just don't do that.
I'm going to fast forward through the stuff and then we'll get to this lady. In the chat, let me know if you can hear it, guys. Okay, so let Ian know. Ian's watching the chat. Let Ian know if you can hear it.
What kind of soulless, pathetic person would take a job as a contact tracer and sell out their fellow Americans? Who would do that?
Wait, yeah.
Okay, Cecil, how about one of the 40 million Americans out of work because of the pandemic? There's 40 million people filed for fucking unemployment since the pandemic started. 40 million. There's 300 and what? 20 some million people in the US. That's like 15% of the actual population, not even just the working pop. Yeah, I think they'll fucking do any job. If I was out of work and they're like, do you want to be a contact tracer? I'd be like, I don't know what it is. Sign me the fuck up.
Pretty soon we're going to be dropping them in an arena like two crawdads to see who wins. Like we're just going to...
Who would do this work? I'll do anything. You want me to put fucking cigars out on my arms? I don't care. I have a fucking family to feed.
But then I realized, well, Antifa has been out of work for a while and so has MS-13.
Actually, Antifa's busy up in, Antifa should be busy up in Minnesota right now.
Yeah. I love the idea that you're like filing for unemployment from MS-13. You're like, oh man, times are tough. See, the thing is like, I was the tattoo guy and like I was tattooing MS-13 and Thug Life.
No regrets on everybody. Yeah.
And like, right across the old chesticles, you know? But I mean, nobody wants it anymore. It's just the world's moved on.
I can't use my toothbrush, guitar string, tattooer that I made. So, I'm just busy, so here we go.
And so maybe someone like them. And look at this contact tracer jobs. Check this out. They get paid a lot of money. I'm not trying to give you any ideas. I certainly don't want to give you guys any ideas, but apparently they get paid up to $55,000 for a contact tracing job.
Yeah, if I was out of work, I'd be fucking getting ideas, right? Like, I'd be like, exactly. Hang on, I'm taking some fucking notes.
There's plenty of people right
now
underemployed in the country that are thinking, $55,000?
Right.
What do I have to do? I'll be contact paper. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Like, I will do...
Yeah.
That's good money. That is good money. $55,000 a year, and you have to... Like, you can help people by being like, hey, man... Don't go near Tom. He's got the COVID.
Did you see the thing that came out today? That guy posted. He was from the Pennsylvania House or whatever there, or Senate. This guy in the Pennsylvania House, he's a state senator. The whole time they've been trying to reopen the state and they've been trying to pass these laws there. The Republicans there have been trying to pass these laws. According to this guy, who's part of that governing body, he said they've been trying to pass these laws over and over and over again. And everybody's had to come to work there. And the people on the Republican side knew that one or two of their guys were infected and they self-quarantined away from their family, but they never told the Democrat side. And so they were all in the same room with people that could have had or could have had exposure with somebody who had COVID. And so this fucking guy is essentially just like, now he was going home to his family every day. And then what comes out when you watch this video, you watch it about halfway through, he's furious. He's swearing. He's mad. And he basically says, the reason why I'm so upset is in January, I didn't want to make a big thing of this. I didn't want to tell anybody about it. but I donated a kidney in January to save someone's life in my neighborhood. One of these people I know. And so very immunocompromised because of this. And I didn't want to tell anybody, but now there's a possibility I could have been in contact and I never quarantined myself. And I never knew that they had it because they didn't share that information. They shared it amongst the Republicans, evidently, but they never shared it amongst the Democrats. They didn't tell the Democrats across the aisle.
God damn, that is fucked up. God damn, it's why nothing's ever going to change.
Burn it all down. Burn it all down.
Holy shit. That is just, already tried that. It got worse. Imagine that. You know? God, just
carry it all the time.
Fuck. I don't want to get the Republicans sick. I'll get the Democrats sick because fuck them. He's not even a person. We're like treating people like they're not even people.
Insane.
Like they're not even people.
Look at this.
God damn. Dude, I wouldn't do that. Like, if there was a fucking Klan meeting going on, because you just don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can't withhold that kind of fucking information.
All right, here we go.
Shit.
So look up contact tracing jobs. They're everywhere. And it makes you wonder if they really just figured this out, you know, they're all figuring out this pandemic. Why? How did it take them such a short amount of time to put together these contact tracing jobs?
They literally posted them on the internet. I don't understand what you're talking about. They asked their HR guy, hey, can you figure out these benefits? Because that's their HR guy's job. And then they said, do the work. And then they did the work. You can hire people in a day, it turns out.
Short period of time.
Oh, that's
what
also true, too, right?
Talk about Willis. Like, we have needed this. Like, people have been, like, screaming about this since the middle of February. True. I checked my fucking hang in there kitten calendar, and it is no longer February. What are you talking about? A short period of time.
Yeah.
What?
And with all of these different companies, things that make you go, was it a pandemic?
Awesome 89 reference there.
Things that make you go,
I'm glad we went back, rolling that back. So for all you people in the audience that are listening and don't know, things that make you go, was a song that was out when I was in high school, I think. I don't even know.
Holy shit.
Who sang that? Someone in chat. Oh, Ian, who sang Things That Make
Never
Come Out,
Ian? Listening to
that
song.
I totally
Ian
know
probably
this.
Produced
just
it.
Waiting to tell you.
You're just waiting. Song. How long are you going to wait? Are you going to wait until somebody
like
types it in chat? Are you going to wait until somebody types it in chat, Ian?
You go, hold
who's
on.
Gonna,
everybody, it's fine.
Things
C,
that make you
C,
go.
CNC Music Factory got it.
CNC Music Factory, everybody. Oh, God. That's outstanding. Oh, man. There's somebody who said it. Somebody in the chat. A bunch of people are like, CNC. Hey, all you old people. Old people power, CNC. There you go. Them and what? KLF? We could do a couple. Oh, God.
Holy
what else?
Shit.
Didn't CNC Music Factory do another one, too? There's like two. I thought they had two.
Oh, you are fucking so asking the wrong person. I'm so bad at this game. I'm so bad
make
at
you
like,
sweat.
Name that song from that band. I'm like, no.
Yeah, okay, you're right.
God.
Good Vibrations, is that? Who was Good Vibrations? Do you remember that song?
No.
Isn't that Marky Mark or something? Or
says the
brother?
Beach Boys.
It's the Beach Boys?
Yeah, it was the... Oh, we're a million.
Wrong one,
we're
Ian.
A
there's
million.
A couple
We've
of
lost.
Good Vibrations.
Okay, I'm sorry.
What is...
God, it was Marky Mark. It was Marky, but Marky Mark and the Fresh
Funky.
Bunch or something? Funky Bunch?
Funky
Bunch.
Okay.
It's a Funky Bunch.
I do remember De La Soul. I remember that too. I'm so old. God damn. It sucks. You know, I have a friend who's much older than me who said it's... Getting old doesn't suck. Getting old is great. Being old sucks. All right, let me play more of this lady. One of my cats just decided to run across the room and slide.
I thought Good Vibrations was
Good
the
Vibrations,
Beach
Boys. But then there's is also yeah, the absolutely. But it's also Marky Mark sang a song, Good Vibrations too. What? You do know it. Okay, now we got to play Marky Mark.
No, play it.
Maybe I'll know it.
No.
But what?
We're going to get demonetized or something.
But why are you playing?
We don't even monetize these.
Well, pre-demonetized.
How can you be pre-demonetized? My whole life has been pre-demonetized. Oh, I know this song. All right.
Okay.
And it's Marky Mark having sex on the screen. It's pretty good. Okay, I'm done. I'm making Ian nervous here. You know, you could just have gotten on your piano, Ian, or whatever you got in your room, one of your hanging guitars, your 50 hanging guitars on the wall, and you could have just played it.
I don't even play.
Ian, you need to be able to play whatever song jumps to fucking mind. Just boom.
Yeah.
Just whatever we name, you should just be able to play it. You should have every instrument standing. But you know what you should have, Ian? You should have one of those one-man band outfits.
Okay. He just stands there, and as he's moving his feet, the harmonica's going off, and he's slapping his hand.
He's like kicking that thing. He's like dunk, 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 dunk.
That's what it should be.
That's what it should be. Play Claire de Lune right now. Claire de Lune, play it.
No.
Play it on your bass, Ian.
No. Although right, patron goal, maybe.
We got to finish this up. Hold on.
I think Ian should just play the theremin. I think he should start and finish every episode with a fucking theremin jam sesh.
Ian, do you own a theremin?
Technically.
Oh, do you? Well, there's no technically. What do you mean technically? No, like, do you rent one out?
No.
Oh, well, maybe you do.
It's an air synth. It's like a quasi. I'm not talking anymore.
Do you have a keytar?
No.
Do you have a keytar?
That would be cool.
You do have a keytar. You said no in the way that means yes. Ian has a keytar. You can't quit the show. You gotta play yourself out with the keytar.
Oh, okay. He's quiet. Now he's mad. All right, we're gonna play more of this video.
He's mad.
Apologize to Ian, Tom.
Oh, Ian, I love you, buddy. I literally can't do anything without you. So you can't quit. Okay. When I used to, I'll nerd myself even worse. When I used to read poetry in the city, I used to go to poetry readings and I would write and read. And there was a guy there who would bring his son and he would read poetry. And he was a University of Chicago literature professor. And he would read his poetry while his shitty kid played fucking theremin jams. It was the dorkiest fucking thing I have ever been a part of, even by virtue of audience member. It was so bad. It was so bad. Oh, that sounds God, amazing. It was terrible.
Oh, God.
Oh.
If they had that at the Newbery Library, then that would be the 100. That would be the Newbery Library for people who don't know. And it's the place where all the rare books are in Chicago. So, all right, we're going to play this. We're going to finish this up.
God.
Pandemic? Or was it a plandemic?
Oh, my God. Oh, God, I got to play that more. Hold on a second. Let me play that from the...
And with all of these different companies, things that make you go, was it a pandemic or was it a plandemic?
Oh, God. Hey, what I love about the people who say plandemic, these are people who have never had to talk to somebody about what they want on their website. You know what I mean? You can't get three people in a room to agree what they want on a website, let alone how to fucking create a plandemic to fucking cook. You can't even, try to order a pizza with three people in the room.
Right. Doesn't the response to the pandemic actually prove the incompetence of like every possible conspiracy theory? Like, we can't get people on the same page to do anything. Like, we can't be like, so maybe we shouldn't all get sick. And it's like, vetoed! Like, there's no conspiracy theories. Nothing can happen. Nobody can accomplish anything
in that room,
anymore.
All of them together with their plandemic and being like, we're all okay with fucking grandma, right? Yep, fuck grandma. We don't give a shit about grandma
or any of our grandpas or any of our aunts or great aunts, fuck them. We're all going to die. We don't care.
All right.
So we're agreed. We're fucking grandma. All right, everyone, take off your pants. That's what's agreed. Right, fucking grandma.
I'm thinking, since this makes, you know, $73,000 a year or $55,000 a year, what about if I take one of these jobs and I infiltrate the contact tracing companies and I go undercover?
Yeah, well, it'd be more than the $36 a month you make on Patreon. So that would be better.
This is just her way of being like, so maybe I'll get one of these jobs and then I'll be undercover employed because I'm so tired of being broke all the time. But I want to maintain my credibility, guys. But I also want like health insurance. So I want credibility and health insurance.
Yeah, I want health insurance, but I'm not worried about COVID at all. I don't want to, because that's a plandemic. So I don't mind.
Here's the thing, guys. I'm an undercover middle class guy. Yeah, that's right. I'm a poor man just undercover as middle class. Cause it's better though.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, you know, I wanna get hired. I wanna work for you. I wanna totally be a Karen. I wanna rat out my fellow citizens. I wanna follow them around.
You are a fucking Karen. I mean, come on. You're already a Karen. You don't have to apply for that job. You already got it.
It's not even what it means. It doesn't mean ratting out your fellow citizens. That's a Benedict Arnold. We already had a name for that. We didn't need an internet meme to give us a new name for somebody with a snazzy haircut that wants to talk to the manager because she's an entitled white woman. What? It's not even what that means.
Around and snitch them out. And then I can actually do undercover investigative work and then report back to everybody after 2 weeks what it was like to be a contact tracer.
And then I'll cash those checks that they give me and I'll undercover report what it's like to make a meaningful wage. Yeah. Fuck the man. I'm buying
shoes. What I wonder too is the way she's talking about it as if you're ratting out your fellow citizens. You're just asking questions about where they got the disease. What were you in contact with? What were you doing? Can we find a way to make sure that the cluster of people that you might have come in contact with might be able to self-isolate so they don't spread this to everyone and we overload the hospitals? It's not a hard fucking equation.
Yeah, well, you're not ratting anyone out. They could just lie to you. They could just lie to you. Like, there's no deep undercover investigative, like, I'm in fucking infiltrating the fucking sick people and I'm gonna wear a fucking, I'm gonna put a ventilator in, but I don't even need one. I'm undercover ventilated. That's what I am.
Yeah.
I'm gonna wear his fucking Darth Vader mask and walk around. I'm undercover COVID sick. Get the fuck out of here. You're asking questions. You got a questionnaire.
You feel like a person at a mall. You just don't pay any money to people.
Yeah.
Right. What the fuck?
All right. So we're going to bounce, guys. We have a little more show to record. Next week on the show, we talked to Callie Wright. Some of you people know who Callie is. Callie does a show called Queersplaining. And so Callie will be on next Monday. We had a great conversation with them. So check it out check that out. Next week, we'll be back. We're going to be doing a live stream next Thursday night, 9 p.m. So I thank everybody for joining us tonight and come back next time. And we're going to do some more stuff. So be here 9 p.m. Central. We look forward to seeing you guys. So thanks, everybody. Hope you guys come back next week. Thanks for joining us. And we'll see you then. Take care, everybody.
All right. Ian, play us out.
Ian.
I don't have a comment. I can do it next time.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
No. God damn it.
Sing Baby Shark for us as we leave.
Baby Shark, dude.
Hold on. Baby Shark, dude. Baby Shark,
Baby Shark,
Baby Shark.
Holy shit, what is happening? That's
Baby Shark in Hell.
So good. God, that's outstanding.
We're almost offline. Hold on. Okay. And
you can hang up anytime.
Okay,
hang
goodbye.
Up. Hang up on him. Hang up on him. That was fun. That was good.